CKUT is hiring an IT coordinator. The IT coordinator is responsible for overseeing the station's IT systems, providing technical support to staff and volunteers, and contributing to the station's collective management. While the IT coordinator is often tasked with projects related to the functions of the station as a whole, they have a lot of flexibility in organizing their work and determining how the station's IT department functions and what its activities are. The IT coordinator envisions how a station can streamline its operations within the parameters of the station's budgeting, maintenance time and costs, and available technologies. Necessary skills include ability to collaborate and work as a part of a collective, ability to work on projects autonomously, ability to drive and learn new skills, knowledge of Linux, Ubuntu, knowledge of networking, DHCP, and Wi-Fi installations and configuration, knowledge of web technologies, HTTP, Apache web server, WordPress, knowledge of some programming and scripting languages, including Bash, Python, Perl, and others, experience with modern computer systems and Google Suite products, knowledge and understanding of the culture, history, and current oppressions experienced by people related to race, class, gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation. Knowledge of Montreal's alternative arts, culture, and activist scenes. For full details about the position, wage, and benefits, go to ckut.ca. Cutoff for applications is Monday, February 20th at 5 p.m. Only those considered for an interview will be contacted.
What's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. Delta. Colliding, no more shallow behavior, grow deep. Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and tonight we have with us Sika Valme, a contemporary Creole Canadian musician, performer, and illustrator. Her audiovisual universe is an expertly crafted collection of timeless, relatable stories. Raised in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, Sika now resides between Montreal, New York City, and Mexico. Reflections of her many migrations, her creations offer a fresh, innovative cultural perspective. Her latest EP, Erosion Experience, is a singular junction between the tropical and northern worlds. Sika, welcome, yes. Welcome, welcome to CKUT. I think you've been on before.
Yes, I have.
But it was a long time ago.
Yes, that was when I was kind of like making a crowdfunding situation finance what we're talking about today. Some of the stuff we'll be talking about. Yeah. So yes.
How have you been? How have things been for you? Because you're all over the place. You're in Montreal, you're in New York, you're in Mexico. It sounds like you're staying where the sunshine is.
You said it. So I'm chasing the sun. Really, after living 21 years in Montreal, migrating directly from Port-au-Prince, I studied in Montreal. I did some work. I developed myself artistically, and then I kind of decided that I've had enough of being in Montreal full time, especially being in the snow,
right? Like, yeah,
which implies being in Montreal full time, in my case. And right. So, I have, yeah, like I said, I've made a decision for myself to be somewhere where I can have the sun half of the year, but still keep Montreal in my heart, in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And how have you been these past few years? Because you know, we gotta talk about the elephant on the planet, which is good old COVID. How has this impacted your life and your creativity?
I think the COVID was a cue for me to get out of Montreal.
Okay.
It's very linked to me moving around. I'm coming back from New York, I believe 2020 March, if that's when this whole thing kind of happened.
Yep.
And then I was thinking about ways for me to organize my life and my work so that I could not be in Montreal full time. And then when COVID happened in Montreal, it was difficult for me because I live by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very scary for me to imagine myself locked in during winter.
Right.
And this is kind of like exactly what a lot of people went through. I had the opportunity to move my work remotely.
Yeah.
Aside from being a creative, I also teach French one-on-one to professional adults. So people didn't even want to like meet up with me in person, so it was a perfect timing for that.
Yeah.
And from that moment, it kind of like helped me also get used to work remotely with other creatives in terms of making music videos, creating the whole branding for the album that you just said. Working with graphic designers, working with whatever people for like mastering the album. I ended up being with someone in New York, never met them, never even Zoomed with them. And so the COVID was a good thing for me in that sense, because it helped me do exactly what I wanted to do, which is to be, to have more mobility, more flexibility.
Right.
And be in places that I want to be, basically.
So you say that you're not only a creative, but you also teach. How did you come to teaching? How did that come about for you?
Teaching. So, first of all, French is my mother tongue for growing up in Haiti. So I think, I'm master of that language. And as a someone who migrated, I have the experience of like migration. And so I think that this is like an added value for me as a person who is, you know, transferring knowledge in that sense. I can relate to people that are Anglophones, maybe, that live in Montreal and have to navigate, which is essentially one of my clientele. Mm-hmm. But that whole thing happened because after doing music for a while, my first album back in 2012, I decided I wanted to go back to school.
Right.
And I went and I did a master's in project management.
Okay.
To kind of like muscle up my left brain a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. my right brain. And in fact, that was very hard, you know, for me to just go back and do this kind of stuff. And I needed to make a little bit of money while I'm there. I couldn't see myself just working full time while I'm doing this whole thing 10 years later, you know?
Right.
And so I decided to teach, to teach French. And I made an analogy with the role of an artist who is a performer doing music on stage. I feel like we're kind of like teachers, quote unquote, in a way where, you know, whenever performers ask people, can you repeat this hook? Can you just ask people to do all sorts of things?
Yeah.
You know, people just do it.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like made that analogy for myself, and I was like, well, I'll just transpose that to language. Mm-hmm. And this is how it all started. I didn't see myself teaching art or music. It's not something that I think artists should do unless, yeah, that's me thinking that. And so this is how this whole thing came about for me. And with time, I started niching, defining my clients, my clientele, and making choices of like where is my happy place in that role. Voila.
And I like that. Where is your happy place? And how important was it for you to define your happy place?
It was crucial. How important for me, like I said earlier, so being in Montreal, I don't have family in Montreal.
Right.
And so oftentimes, you know, find myself like being alone, like literally. And so when you teach, you develop a connection with someone that trusts you.
Right.
You know, because people are vulnerable. They're shy. There are all sorts of stuff that can be attached to language. You can't get a job. You can't, I don't know. You can't communicate with your partner, you know? Stuff. So, and also being able to teach remotely, you know, it just like informs the fact that I don't have to be in the snow.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to trudge in the snow with your equipment, with your stuff.
Exactly.
Gives you some freedom.
That kind of contributed to making me a more happy person, literally. Mm-hmm. And I learn from people. They tell me all sorts of things that I don't know about the art world, you know, about, you know, cities in the world. So that's it.
And in the teaching sense as well, I mean, I feel like COVID revolutionized the way that people could teach, because now you could literally be in your living room teaching like a bunch of people at the same time. You know, I love to say that this is basically the influence of like Star Trek. You know, like back in the day when Star Trek, when two two starships are communicating, it's basically through Zoom. Like, let's be real.
Oh man,
you know, like, that's where that came from.
Yeah, I have not seen Star Trek, but I remember seeing those little screens with like people in spaceships and just communicating with the other ones with screens.
It's basically Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
And it allows for flexibility. And now it almost gives people no excuse to like understand that people can work from home and still be productive. You know, mm-hmm. And it actually be safer for everybody. Well, depending, of course, because not everyone has a safe home situation. Mm-hmm. But safer in the sense of not transmitting as much disease and, you know, in that kind of sense of the word.
Right. But it does come with a whole other kind of like vocabulary around how to live your life that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is, I would say, like, it's the hard part because it's new for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to know, how did you first come to music? Like, how did music become your something that you were passionate enough about that you wanted to build a career and become an artist?
So music happened for me when I was in elementary school, growing up in Haiti, where I went to a Catholic primary school. Mm-hmm. And so we would sing cantique, religious songs.
Okay, yeah. Kind of like gospel, mm-hmm. gospel music.
Gospel, not gospel music, no.
Okay.
Because, no, gospel is more Christian, I'd say.
Okay.
But this is Catholic stuff. But okay. I'll say that that's how it presented itself to me.
Okay.
In a way that is more active, because I was singing.
Okay.
You know? Then in a more passive way, where I just, like, observe and consume sound, consume music and stuff like that, I had my friend, my childhood friend, in fact, Mikhail Benjamin, who passed recently.
Mm, I'm sorry.
For those who knew of him, Mika Ben. And so we were childhood friends. So he was playing the guitar all the time, listening to music all the time. And so that was part of my environment. My dad played the percussions. He played the trumpet. So he, you know, he just played music all the time, in front of me.
Right.
Not as a musician, but as a music lover.
Right.
If you will.
Right.
And so, this is how, you know, that was the presence of music in my, you know, growing up. And then I just picked up the guitar. I decided I wanted to learn the guitar. I was listening a lot to like 90s, big 90s, like Alanis Morissette stuff.
Okay.
Like, oh wait, there's a bunch of like alternative India airy stuff like that.
I see you have on a Led Zeppelin shirt.
You can tell. I mean,
well, the Zep part. It's the font.
The
font is very iconic, and those three letters. I can see the Z, the E, the P. So the three letters are very iconic. So I'm like, oh, Led Zeppelin for sure. Yeah.
That was a gift, which I'm very happy I'm wearing. I have now.
But yeah, influenced a lot by alternative music.
Yeah, so I picked up the guitar and I started learning. I started writing songs, so singing and playing. I did that. Then it kind of grew on me. I listened a lot to like traditional Haitian voodoo mm-hmm. music a lot growing up as well. Bands like Ram, like R-A-M, and Campeche, even Jacques Sauvage, I mean, you know, like this kind of music. And so I always imagine myself like conveying a message, conveying something, you know, through through that role of someone who's just putting information in the world in a way that is artistic. Yeah. I never said, I'm going to be a singer. I'm going to be a musician. That was not my prerogative.
Okay. No, it wasn't like, and you weren't intentional with like becoming a musician. It was just something you kind of fell into.
Yes, but it's more, I'm interested more in the role and the impact that I can have, you know? And so I can do it with so many different things.
Okay, like what?
Like art, drawings, like illustration. You do it with acting, you know? There's poetry, there's a bunch of stuff, you know? But I happen to have music more around me. And in my family, there's a lot of designers, there's architects, there's painters. And so I kind of like picked up that naturally.
Yeah.
And for the artist that I am today, I kind of, I merge those two practices together. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that way I position myself more as a distinct creative person, or a distinct musician, if you want, or more distinct illustrator, because I have those two things. And when I present like as a synergy.
Mm. Okay. And you brought up Haitian voodoo music. How, if any, does it influence your work?
Mm-hmm. Well, you will hear, especially on the latest record, Erosion Experience, you will hear a whole lot of traditional voodoo rhythms and instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's a tendency of like the way I do the choir, you know, I like multiply my voice so much, you know, as if it's like a lot of people singing, right. People do that a lot, like chant, you know?
Right.
In some songs you'll hear that, especially in Mango. The song Mango.
Yeah.
So these, for example, these are things that I picked up literally there. And I also sing in Creole. Mm-hmm. I choose to sing in Creole.
Yes.
More than I ever have before. The first record didn't do that very much. And then when it comes to the branding of the sound, I also, not the branding, like this, maybe like the visual identity of the sound.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just like, okay, what is it?
Okay. The visual identity of the sound. Okay.
The visual identity of the music, the musician.
Okay. The musician. Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't see my face very much, you know. I use bright colors that we find in tropical places. In Haiti, there's a lot of bright, vivid colors.
Yes.
So that's a way to do that. Mm-hmm. To pick from my Haitian heritage, you know, literally. And I also have specific visual references. For example, in Mango, you see like coconut trees, you will see palm trees. They're very cliches. We also see cactus, a lot of cacti.
Right.
Which you find all the way like even like in Mexico, like Costa Rica, Nicaragua, like all Central America, you find them. In Haiti, you find them as well.
Yes.
If you go to my Instagram page, for example, I love to show, you know, fruits that I'm discovering, fruits that I love, and I literally have photos of them, and I'm talking about them. And these are all different ways that are not, let's say, well, that I choose to bring in my Haitian culture.
Mm. Mm. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time this evening, we are speaking to Sika Valme, who is a contemporary Creole Canadian musician, performer, and illustrator. We do have to take a quick break and pay some bills, listen to some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
There's a lot going on in the world today. See how it affects Montreal's Black and Caribbean community. Read the Community Contact. News, features, opinions, music reviews, cultural events, and so much more. Our voices, our perspectives, our community. Published every 2 weeks, pick it up at your favorite community spot or visit us online at our new and dynamic website, mtlcommunitycontact.com. Easy to navigate and lots to enjoy. Archived issues also on the site and available on the web. That's mtlcommunitycontact.com. Stay in contact. Yes, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this evening we have with us Sika Valme, who was raised in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and now resides between Montreal, New York, and Mexico. Reflections of her many migrations, her creations offer a fresh, innovative cultural perspective. Her latest CP, Erosion Experience, is a singular junction between the tropical and northern worlds. Sika, thank you once again for being here. So before the break, we were talking a bit about your music and how it does have some influences with regards to Haitian voodoo. So I'm curious, in your family, voodoo wasn't something that was taboo. It was, or at least the music wasn't taboo.
No. The music, it's something I would just buy the music that I like from stores. Just right. go there, buy the CD, I listen to it all the time. And I was not, it was not banned, you know, to not listen to that kind of music in the house, no. And was voodoo a religion that I practice? No. Was it practiced in my family? No. By my closest friends? No. Maybe by other people around me that I don't know. Mm-hmm. But for me, I just find a lot of inspiration. I just find a lot of inspiration. Mm-hmm. I don't know. In the messaging, the processes, you know, the colors, the meanings, that are all, you know, encapsulated into like the voodoo culture.
And because I'm very curious about spirituality, not so much religion. I've studied religion and I've written my reports and all of that through high school and whatnot, and even into college here in Canada. And that's not interesting to me. What's interesting to me is spirituality and how people define their own spiritual practices, you know, everything from like whether you consider it manifestation, mantras, to like tarot cards, to people feeling like they connect with spirits and stuff like that. I've always been interested in that. And Haitian voodoo is something that I was exposed to very, very young. At like 12, 13 years old, I went to temples. And I was always fascinated by this duality of it being something that is considered very taboo and by with colonizing eyes, whether it is that you are a black person or a white person, because we have to acknowledge that even if you're black, you can still have the colonizer's perspective on things. Voodoo was viewed as something that is evil and like not correct, you know? So oftentimes we'll hear about Haitian people who they don't want to hear ra-ra music. They don't want to hear voodoo music. They don't want to have anything to do with that. So I find it interesting that duality, that contradiction, mm-hmm. because it's really a big part of the culture, but yet mm-hmm. there are people who view it as something to be looked down on and something to be pushed to the side.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's totally related to colonization and as a result, racism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah. What inspires you when it comes to your creative work? Because you are multiple creative artists. You're not just
like that.
You're multiple creative artists.
Slide.
And yeah. I feel like when you're an artist, you can't just do one thing, right? Like you have to have
you have to have multiple
you know avenues, multiple streams of income, multiple ways of expressing yourself. And you do. It's interesting because you do visual art and you do auditory art. So it's kind of like. It's kind of like almost the opposite spectrum in terms of the senses that you're stimulating.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like mm-hmm. what inspires you and is there a, can you compare and contrast between the auditory work that you do and the visual work that you do?
Mm-hmm. Compare and contrast?
Let's start with what inspires you.
I was like, I don't know, you asked me to write a grant.
Hey, you might be able to listen back and use the content for the next grant that you write.
Let me pull up that Google Drive document for you. What inspires me? What inspires me as a advocate in my art? Well, I you know, like I mentioned in my bio, I have, I'm gonna have to enter that more specifically. So that for that record, okay, I go and I extract from different styles within the electronic music genre.
Mm-hmm.
For example, which are music that are absolutely love, but they're very niche, like ambient, like lo-fi, trip hop, you know, folktronic. There's a whole scene out there.
Yeah.
So sonically, I just like pick stuff that I like from there, that world.
Yeah.
And then I integrate it with how would I say, like a very highly rhythmic bass, which resembles, you know, stuff that are closer to my Haitian culture,
mm-hmm.
in terms of rhythms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of instrumentation, for example, like some like earmarks, you know, earmarks.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you listen to a country song, you're waiting for the steel guitar.
Okay.
You're listening to a jazz, whatever, you're waiting for that person who's going to do like an improv, whatever, right. segment. Yeah. Okay. So you got to know, what are the earmarks that you want to select?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I do that, with, for example, compas,
mm-hmm.
music,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the Haitian traditional most popular music.
Yeah.
So when you do that, you're waiting for the part where they're gonna say, "Whoa, la, la, la," like something that means absolutely nothing.
Right.
Or you're waiting for that part where you're gonna hear like a synth solo or like yeah. a guitar solo, and they have specific sound that they use to have that role in that segment of the song.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, because that's what leads to like the 8-minute compas song with like a three minute instrumentation in the middle somewhere, where it's just the musicians that are riffing.
Yeah, and then they're just like, they're just like calling up their friends while the guy is doing like whoever's doing like a solo. You're gonna hear like, oh yeah, say hello to this person. Oh. Hire this person.
Yep.
You know, but that, you know, that's culture. So this is how it's done.
Yeah.
And there's a whole, you know, there's an audience that is waiting for that.
Yes.
Sometimes they don't care about the verse. They're just waiting for that. Well, what is the solo is going to be like in this song? Like, I don't care. But I choose to integrate, you know, ideas from that practice, that way of doing things,
mm-hmm.
into my songs. For example, the song Vini Vini, towards the end, you will hear like a guitar groove. It's kind of like a repetitive pattern of a guitar groove. So when you listen to it,
yeah.
towards the end, you can tell me what you think. So you'll probably have something familiar because you are half Haitian,
mm-hmm.
you know, you know what I'm talking about right now,
yeah.
but you also may be like, oh, but it's not done the way, the traditional way. It's done in another way as someone who's influenced and consumes, you know, a bunch of other things.
Multiple kinds of
as a diaspora,
art.
You know, partly so you have the diaspora experience. Do you? Maybe in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate when people can take something that is known and make something beautiful and original. One of my issues, and our Haitian listeners might get mad at me, but one of my issues with compas is that it all sounds the same, you know, or zouk all sounds the same. There might be a little kind of difference, but if you can almost just take off the audio track and place another audio track, and it won't be jarring. You know, and that's one of my issues. I'm like, okay, we know how to do this, right? How can we do something
yeah.
original? How can we make it interesting? How can we make it dynamic? How can we make it diverse? Because like and it's like I'm kind of cutting both ways because I still like the compas music. I still enjoy it, and I will still, you know, in my living room, I'll just be alone. My petit compas, you know, j'ai pas de problème. But sometimes I want, okay, give me something fresh. Give me something new. I don't want to feel like I'm just listening, if I put on a mix, like a compa mix, it would be nice to feel like I'm listening to multiple tracks as opposed to like almost one long track of the same music.
I totally agree. I relate and I agree. You know, that's the trap, you know, that's the trap.
Yeah.
Of, I guess, that style of music. And I don't consume it from, you know, personally, but because I made those specific choices for that record, I decided to go and do my homework, mm-hmm. and analyze that kind of music in order to do my work well.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of the things that inspired me, I have to say, for making that whole new body of, you know, songs. Mm-hmm. And then another thing that I did is that I worked with other creatives that complement me in a way that things that I just cannot do.
Right.
A bunch of ideas. I will direct them, you know, I will send a bunch of just like notes, mood board, whatever, but some things I can't execute. Mm-hmm. For example, I work with a Guadeloupean multi-instrumentalist on that record. So for example, the song Diaspora to the Moon that opens the record.
Right.
So this person, their name is Yuan Killen. They go by Yo-Yo, if you look at the credits. And he is very well versed in the zouk, you know? He knows about right. his zouk. And so I'd be like, all right, so let's look at the zouk. How do people do this thing? So let's pick this, and let's integrate it into this formula that I'm making, mm-hmm. you know? And then you will see the differences once you hear Diaspora to the Moon. And then you hear, for example, Mango. Very different. Yeah. Rhythmically.
Yeah.
You know? And then in terms of like the texture, like you had to like touch the sound, like what would it feel like? Mm-hmm. You know, I made choices to mix like analog practices with very modern production approach. Mm-hmm. And so you'll hear that as well. So, you know, when we went to mixing, for example, we use a specific machine to do, you know, to have the voice sound a certain way, whatever. So that's the whole thing for like the music. I think. Yeah, and then when it goes to like anything that's more illustration work, like graphic art work, mm-hmm. You're gonna see like vivid colors. You're gonna see a lot of organic shapes. I'm very influenced by the natural world, you know, nature, mm-hmm. And very very into like details and stuff like that. So you pick up a lot of like line work, very intense, and I try to mirror that in a way in the sounds.
Yeah.
It's something that's very hard to explain. I can only turn that in the grant, but I don't want to give my secrets away either, but
understand.
There we go.
In your press release, you say that the new EP, Erosio Experience, emerged from a dark personal period and that you were having a hard time with your health and reconsidering your own story and repositioning your creative work. Could you tell us a little bit about that and how that influenced the work as well?
Mm-hmm. So earlier during the interview, I mentioned that I've been living in Montreal for like more than about like 20 years, and that, you know, I don't have family really in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And so after a while, yes, I went through a period of just like, I don't want to be here anymore. It's hard.
Yeah.
You know? And so I needed to reconnect with what feels familiar.
basically.
Right.
And what feels familiar in that context is things that remind me of the sun.
Okay. The sun is in the astral body, the sun.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And so I was like, okay, I'll be singing more in Creole. I will choose to work with Caribbean artists, mm-hmm. you know, and I will travel and work remotely. I'll do all these things. And so this whole is kind of like part of what informed, you know, those choices into making a record that resembles that. And erosion, when you think about erosion, the word erosion,
yep.
it's a process that we find in the natural world where over time things, you know, there's weathering that happens.
Yes.
And so when I compare that with my health, I was at some point I was having sleep issues. And so I felt like I am kind of like losing sleep minerals, if you will, quote unquote.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And that's it. But as a diaspora, as someone that has a diaspora experience, you do experience culture diffusion.
Okay.
You experience that. And as you go through that, you also experience culture absorption.
Yep.
And so you become like this middle ground. And I find value in that middle ground. I'm not this or that. I'm these two things in one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a story I'm telling in that record.
I like how you brought erosion and like the comparison between our humanity and how when we're living in a different culture, the parts of us that made us who we thought we were start to erode. Because I mean, there's a thing where they say every 7 years your body has changed. Like, it's not the same physical body because, you know, every time we rub our hands together, tiny, tiny, minuscule particles are like disappearing, like shedding. And they say that dust is made up of, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's like a high percentage of like human skin is basically dust.
Okay.
Right.
So nice to know.
Our bodies are constantly eroding. We're constantly shedding parts of ourselves all over. When you cut your nails, that's a form of erosion. When you cut your hair off, you know, so that's a really interesting, interesting way to see it. What else inspires you? Because so we've talked about country, we've talked about home, we've talked about music, in terms of the things that you speak about, what are the things that you like to speak about in your work?
You mean maybe from like the themes in my songs?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it to be, the themes, the diaspora experience.
Okay.
The diaspora reality, the diaspora way of life.
And have you noticed a difference between being in the diaspora and the difference between life back home and being in the diaspora?
Yes, difference. It's pretty obvious when you think about it, but just like, what does it look like?
Because it's also obvious to us who have really had that experience of both. Like, I moved here when I was 20 and I've been here in Montreal for 22 years. So I understand there's a huge difference between growing up in Jamaica and Haiti and like living here in Montreal. I can see the polar differences, but it's not always obvious to people who haven't had that experience. For example, people who grew up here their whole life and maybe go back to visit every once in a while, like, their mentality is completely separate and apart from ours, you know?
Yeah. I want to make like a very fun parallel as an example.
Go ahead.
So when I was growing up, in Haiti, for example, I there was a leisure activity that I practiced, mm-hmm. which was flying kites.
Yes. Okay. I've done that as well.
and if in the album artwork, in like one of the inside panels of the album artwork, the physical copy of the album, because yeah. I made one, you will see a kite if you look carefully.
Right.
Now, the kite is a specific, first of all, a specific shape. It's kind of like almost a little hexagon kind of shape. It's flat. It's not like a box kite, because I'm also a kite fan anyway. So, but it all started from there.
Right.
And the kites, I would make them with my hands. There's no plastic tubes or anything like that. There's mm-hmm. no like metal. It's just like thin wood branches. And then you tie it with just like nylon, and you make the tail, you know, with just like random fabric that you find. Just make sure you got enough of it so it's heavy enough for the wind, etc. So now that I'm in Canada, in Montreal, I cannot find a kite that is shaped like that, made like that, fly like that, sound like that.
Right. Because it is really a trifecta of experience, because you have the feel of the kite being pulled in your hand. There's the visual side of it, but then you can also hear the kite, depending on how it's made, the fabric. There's a sound experience as well to it. You know, I never thought about it that way.
So that's a tiny little thing, something, you know, that I grew up doing as a leisure activity, something that's pleasant for me whenever I still do it. The other day I was in Vancouver, I made sure to bring my kite with me. I bought kite over there, but nothing like the ones I used to fly.
Right.
Just different kites.
Yes.
But if you transfer that to, the climate, the language, the systemic, you know how the city functions.
Yep.
So it's different from what you're used to, and you do have to adapt. Sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Sika Valme, a creative artist, contemporary Creole Canadian musician, performer, and illustrator. And we got to play some music, pay some bills, keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3.
Our data. When you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Especially in web and email services, where multinationals compete to manage your communication so they can make a profit off of the private communication you are producing. Coombit is a worker cooperative trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at coombit.org or email at info@coombit.org. That's K-O-U-M-B-I-T. We are not on Facebook.
Tout point de repère et repartir à zéro.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this evening's guest is Sika Valme, a contemporary Creole-Canadian musician, performer, and illustrator, whose audiovisual universe is an expertly crafted collection of timeless, relatable stories. Raised in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, Sika now resides between Montreal, New York, and Mexico. Reflections of her many migrations, her creations offer a fresh, innovative cultural perspective. Her latest EP, Erosion Experience, is a singular junction between the tropical and northern worlds. Sika, thank you so much for being here this evening. It's been an interesting journey thus far. Mm-hmm. My next question for you is, how would you like your music to be received and to, or rather, no. How would you like your music to impact the world?
This is taking me a couple seconds here.
It's a pretty deep question. Like, you got to think about it. You got to give yourself a moment to, like, digest it.
So, as I mentioned, as you read in the bio, it's kind of my creations act kind of as a bridge. Mm-hmm. And so I want that people that are more in the northern hemisphere to learn and discover about the Afro-Caribbean culture through a music style and music, you know, musical earmarks, familiar things to them, things that are familiar to them, and vice versa. So mm-hmm. people that are more, you know, below the equator. So, but more specifically, I would say the Caribbean or just like Central America, et cetera, but kind of like hear things that they relate to, but presented in a context of things that are the context that is far from them, things that, stuff that they look up to. The reason why I say look up to, for example, someone that lives in, I'm here in Mexico right now.
Yeah.
And I've heard that multiple times. A lot of people that are in Mexico, they aspire, you know, what is success to them? They aspire to go study, for example, in California or in Texas.
Okay.
You know? Or they aspire to, you know, take their retirement in Europe, because they do, a lot of them do.
Okay.
And so this is what I mean by you, by you know, like experiencing things that are familiar to you, but presented in a context, you know, that you aspire to, like it's something that's a bit new to you.
Right.
And so, This is what I would like people to experience when they listen to my music. So anything that feels familiar, but at the same time, it's new. So the end result is, oh, this is fresh. Mm-hmm.
So you said that you're in Mexico. Why did you choose to go to Mexico?
To me, as someone who grew up in the Caribbean, and for half my life, so 18 years, and also lived the other part of my life in Quebec.
Right.
Even though I traveled a ton, when I was younger, I played tennis, and that allowed me to visit other places in the Caribbean, especially.
Okay.
But, you know, I have that like, two major references that I can talk about, you know? Mm-hmm. So as someone that knows that, Mexico, to me, is an excellent central you know, middle ground between North America,
yeah,
and the Caribbean, and tropical world,
right?
Not only you know, the geographic location of the place,
mm-hmm.
but also what it has to offer.
Right.
The only thing I'd say that is completely different for me is Spanish. But, you know, Spanish, you know, there's no word. You won't find Spanish in Montreal. Like, you don't have to speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And you don't have to speak Spanish in Haiti. But then it's so close to French.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why Mexico. So, you know, the food, the music, the humor, the people here, the climate. There is a very rich culture of the Indians, you know, here. I'm still learning about it.
Mm-hmm.
The Aztec, the Mayas, the etc. But also, this country is very progressive. It's like, it's very modern.
Okay.
That's very appealing to me. Anything that's like contemporary, looking towards, you know, innovation, that's very appealing to me. Mm-hmm. So to this day, this is a perfect mix.
Right. And New York? Because you say you're between West Montreal, New York and Mexico.
Yeah. Okay. New York was my first stop before Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I did two stops in New York, so two winters in New York, right? So starting the first COVID winter.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was literally fleeing COVID in Montreal, literally.
Yeah.
And so because I did not know what was going to happen with borders and et cetera, it's an easy way for me to get to and come back if I need to, because I can drive.
Right.
And I had collaborators in New York, like, when I'm more like, okay, is this useful? Yes, because I have collaborators in New York and I have family in New York as well. And I just wanted to be in a place, you know, that is not Quebec. And for all the reasons about that I named, New York was very strategic for me.
Right.
Yeah, and it was less cold, etc. And I think I learned a lot also about, you know, the hustle of creatives in New York, the hustle, the, comment dire, entraide, like, oh, I don't know.
The interhelping, people interhelping one another.
Very, very big.
Okay.
I find, even though, like, well, people still have different motivations, but compared to my experience working with people in Montreal, I found that, like, which is something that is so appealing to me. Like, you're working hard and you're interested in creating new things.
Mm-hmm.
In Montreal, people, in my experience, I found that people are just lazy and they just want to do their own thing. That's it.
Wow. That's interesting. That's interesting. I find that, yes, there are people that want to do their own thing, but I find more and more, myself having been a producer here in the city for over a decade and a half, that there is, people are willing to collaborate, but there's always a limit. There's always like, we'll collaborate with you up until this point, and then no, we're not going to collaborate anymore. But I like what you said about people interhelping one another, because there is kind of, I feel the rumblings of a movement of kind of returning to the barter system and the service exchange system, as opposed to monetary exchange. So, like, exchanging skills, exchanging, as a friend of mine put it, exchanging energy as well, as opposed to like, okay, I'm going to pay you for this. No, we're going to work together on different things. So if you're an editor, you can come and edit my novel. And if you need somebody to help you write a grant, I can help you write a grant. Like,
as opposed to like, oh yeah, I'm going to pay you $5,000 so you can edit my work, and then you're going to pay me back that money to write your grant with you or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Do you find that is mm-hmm. kind of a bit of the culture in New York, that people are more bartering?
The exchange of services, like I'm just waiting until you ask me to do this thing.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking me?
No. Well, not necessarily that someone's waiting for you to ask, but instead of like looking for money specifically, mm-hmm. people are willing to exchange mm-hmm. skills.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I did not have that experience.
Okay.
Not to say that it doesn't exist. It wasn't what I experienced.
Okay, so that's not what the helping was.
Not that kind, no. It was more of a sharing networks.
Okay.
Sharing, you know, oh, I know this person. Boom. Okay, this person, they live there. This is how to contact them. This is what they do. You can do it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's one example. Or maybe, you know, I know this venue or I know this event.
Right.
It's going to be good for you. Why do you think it's even going to be good for me? Because you're interested in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And be like, oh, if you ever need something, well, I'm going to be here. It's not going to necessarily be for free. But I'm interested in enough in what you're doing that I want to be part of it.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I experienced.
Which is just as valid too. I mean, because you're bringing something to the table that they're interested in being a part of. And even if there is some kind of financial benefit to it, there's still an exchange of energy and an exchange of like growth and positive movement towards something better.
Yes, I think network is so valuable.
Mm-hmm. My dad used to say, you can only, oh my God, he said it so succinctly. He said something to the effect of your net worth is determined by your net work.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I know exactly when he was telling me this. We were driving down, we were in Jamaica. He was driving down Gordontown Road. And I remember even the intersection where we were in, like, it was very vivid in my mind. And he was trying to explain to me, and I didn't understand it at the time because it sounded like the same word. You know, he's mm-hmm. like, your net worth is determined by your net work. And it's like years later that I understood that what he was saying is that the people that you surround yourself with will augment your own value. Whether you want to think about it as a financial value, whether you want to think about it as a in-demand value, it's like they always say, you know, like, who are your five closest friends? You know, like, be intentional about your friendship and the people that you keep in your circles. So you have a good network in New York, and they're willing to share theirs with you.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, it is the skill that it is. It has the elements that it has, you know, but it is something.
Yeah,
it definitely is something. And I have to say, though, that what, you know, it's super important to be disciplined and to just conduct yourself, you know, in a way that is right.
Yeah.
Lack of words here, but whatever it is that you're doing, you're putting something in the world, you're trying to advance something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that I was so conscious about like making sure that I have to do what I have to do well and conduct myself well. Mm-hmm. Because this is the first thing before any whoever like around, mm-hmm. you know, I gotta have some sort of like criteria of like quality.
Okay.
And I have to honor my words. I have to like return favors. I have to pay people correctly. I have to ask what they even want in return. Yeah. Is that okay? Got to do that part.
And see what you're able to give in return, regardless of whether it's a monetary value or a service value or opening up your own network to them. You need to, that exchange needs to be agreed upon before, mm-hmm. before you embark on whatever journey you're embarking on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is something that you don't get taught in art school, right? Like when you've decided, okay, this is what my career path is going to be, and you go into acting, you go into music, you go into dance, you go into theater. People don't tell you that you got to be very intentional. You got to work with integrity. You got to have integrity while you're working. You have to treat people kindly and with respect, you know, because I remember when you said, you got to do what's right. And like, right is so subjective, because 400 years ago, white people thought that enslaving black people was right and that they were doing us this huge favor, you know. And I've had conversations recently that make me question the difference between good and evil, and how nuanced evil is. And is it that people are evil, or is it that they're committing evil acts? And like, I've been going into this very existential kind of like trying to understand humanity, because we are extremely complex as human beings. I think
we're complex, but we're also deep down very selfish, no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's just human nature.
Yeah, we're always, self-preservation is like our animal response to everything that happens around us.
So how much aware am I, or we are, of that? Mm-hmm. And how much effort are we, you know, consciously putting into fighting that? That is a different thing for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's something that I think about a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Sika Valme, who is a contemporary Creole Canadian musician, performer, and illustrator. And we are talking about all of the things that make her up to be who she is and more. We do have to play some music, pay some bills. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Too many times. Don't lose your mind trying to get by. I can't be doing this 9 to 5. I was told.
Always see you round my way, you're always so close. Look me dead in my soul, and you want me to stay. That's when I know that I could go there with you, and I remember why I'm still loving you. So many people always there, and they're looking our way, trying to catch a little flame from the fire we share. That's when I feel I wanna steal your time.
making rhymes. Never sure, sure.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Sika Valme, who is currently located in Mexico. She is a contemporary Creole Canadian musician, performer, and illustrator. And this is our last segment for the evening. But, you know, if you're just tuning in, you can also listen back at 8:31. Sika, you had a question that you wanted to ask me during the break, because I had asked you about how you wanted the music to impact the world. And
I asked you, if you forget about the answer that I gave you, and see for yourself how you received the music that I shared with you that led us to the interview today.
Yeah. Well, I listened to the tracks today, and it takes me a long time to absorb music. Like, I have to hear music over and over and over, and because I'm also hearing impaired, it's even more important for me to like have the music playing on a consistent basis. But my first impression of the music was that, yes, it was deeply rooted in like Afro-Caribbean-ness, specifically Haitian rhythms and vibrations. But I also got a hint of what you were speaking about in terms of alternative music. I got like, okay, this is not traditional Haitian music. And it took me back. It took me home. I felt like I was at one point, because I was working while I was listening to the music, but at one point in my mind, I felt like I was back home in Haiti in this neighborhood called Belleville, sitting down on the stoop, like watching the sunset and waiting for the lights to come on. It did take me back home. So for me, there was an impact of nostalgia, an impact of home, basically. So that's how I received it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like I can check off my I mean, I'm checking a goal here.
One of your intentions that checked. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah, but awesome. It made me reconnect. It made me reconnect with a side of myself. Like, I haven't been to Haiti since the year my grandfather was assassinated. Which was 2000, and like, you took me right back there. You took me right back to a time when there was innocence and purity, and it was just me and my cousin just chilling and waiting to go and play Nintendo when the sun set. Because when the sun set, that's when the lights come on.
Right, little small pleasures, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Nostalgia, but yeah, thanks. In terms of anything that is far from home, so anything innovative, anything new, did it move you that way, and how did that happen?
I don't understand your question. Sorry.
Because you said essentially the music brought you back home.
Yeah,
I got that.
Yeah.
Did it do the opposite also in some way?
Well, like, I only got to listen to all of the tracks once. So
I did a second listen.
Yeah, I need to, in order to process it more.
I get it.
But like, I did notice that it's like, it wasn't traditional.
Mm.
So, it was almost like it took me back in time, but it gave me a new experience because the music wasn't like the music of Haiti back then. You know, I don't know if I'm explaining myself correctly, but it's not Haitian music from the 1990s, which is when I grew up in Haiti. But it did, my emotional response and my memorial response was to go back there. But I'm still aware that this is new music. This is almost its own genre, its own fusion genre that was never created before. Kind of like, I don't know if you ever watched the Back to the Future series,
with Michael J. Fox. So Back to the Future, very long story short type of thing, is this guy, he gets sent back in time and he has to find his way to come back to the present time. And at one moment, so he gets sent back to the 1950s from 1985, I believe it was. He gets sent back to the 1950s, and at one point he's at a school dance, and he has to play some music for his parents so that they can kiss. And one of the little switches in the story is that one of the musicians cuts his hand and can't play the guitar. And this whole song is supposed to, he's supposed to, you know, make this happen. Anyhow, his parents end up kissing, everything goes out right, and he's still exists. But then after that, the musicians want to, like, they want to play another song before the end of the night, and he plays Go Johnny Go, which hadn't been written back in the 50s. And so it's kind of like this experience of, like, brand new, taking us back to nostalgia. You know what I mean? It's like this fusion of the new and the old together at once.
Oh, man, I like that.
But that's how that I experienced that.
Yeah, okay.
It's like
okay,
getting into a time machine and going back home, but like still having the present with me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming up to the end of the show. Do you have anything upcoming that you'd like to let folks know about? Because we had spoken before the show, and I know you have something going on in Mexico, but, you know, at least to let people know what you're up to, mm-hmm, and how they can find you, how they can support you.
Right now, I am in conversation with a venue in Mexico City to present the audiovisual body of work around erosion experience. That means, you know, music and video projection for end of February, cross fingers. And doing the same thing with an establishment in Miami, also cross fingers. And also in conversation with someone in Montreal to present something towards summer. So this is it. And I would love, if there's anyone out there listening, producers related to like festivals in Montreal and outside of Montreal, to reach out, because I would love to have other opportunities to present this work. The first presentation was at the Phi Center.
Yep.
And I'm thinking about this kind of like a limited edition of like presenting an audiovisual immersive experience, literally. Mm-hmm. It's not like a full band thing. It's different.
Yeah.
So whoever would want to book something, know that the budget will be a bit different, but there's a lot of videos involved, video projections.
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that. That's the idea. So please get in touch. And the way to find me, Sika Valme, so SikaValme at Instagram or Gmail, literally. That's it.
All right.
And I believe that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
All listen right to the record, share it. You can order it. I ship on Bandcamp. I love to talk about working remotely with artists that have completely different cultural backgrounds as me, because that was part of the creative process in
yeah
the way that is intentional. So, you know, all the project management involved, acting as a creative director, how, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I love talking about that. So,
yeah.
The opportunity to speak on panels, things like that. I got lots of stories I can tell, tips to share. Voila.
Voila.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Sika Valme, for coming and chatting with us this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, you can listen back to the full show at 8:31 p.m. on our archives. You just go to www.ckut.ca and you go to Programming and Archives and just click on it and you can listen to the full show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I simply wanted to thank you for making time for me.
Absolutely.
Today, it's a really nice full circle situation here between you and me, because before doing this whole thing, I remember like getting back to, all right, I guess I'm going to make another record after 12 years. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm done. I don't want to work for artists anymore. I don't want to work for labels in Montreal anymore. I'm going to do it for myself.
Right.
Let's write grants. We sat down. You helped me give you some pointers to do the homework. I did my homework well. and then I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to do crowdfunding to complement whatever I received from the government. I did that. I came on security, talked about my crowdfunding, begged for money. I got money.
Right.
I did my homework and you were here and now it's out and then you're here again. So that's
amazing. I'm always happy to be a part of the creative process in some way, shape, or form. That brings us to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, okay.
We had Sika Valme with us this evening. Please go check out her work, SikaValme, on Instagram. And you can also hit her up on Gmail. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. You can find us at SoulPCKUT on all your favorite platforms, social media. Or you just come back here every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. on CKUT.ca or 90.3 FM. You've been listening to Soul Perspectives. Have a good night.
Avec toi, CKUT 90,3 FM. CKUT, heart to heart with you.